but more specifically is related to the notion that our dispositions are involved globally in our ability to exercise reason in the deliberative choice of how to act. And thus Aristotle marks off as the chief cognitive virtue what he calls in Greek phronesis, which we translate properly as practical wisdom, which is what Kant later was to translate as, in a sense, practical reason. This word practical wisdom came to be called early in the Western tradition prudence. And it's indicative, as I said earlier, in the shifts of our moral thinking, that prudence now means what it does. That is, that prudence now refers simply to what's in my own selfish first-person interests. For Aristotle, the prudential is the arena of how to think and act well. In Aristotle, it is the notion of an ability that an agent has to know what to do, to know how to act. It's that kind of practical wisdom that constitutes the heart of a good human life. The sensitivity to what it is that situations demand of us, and the know-how, the practical wisdom, to work out what to do in those circumstances. So that the chief ethical question for Aristotle becomes the question, how can we so train ourselves? How can we so, in our lives, create ourselves and, subsequently, our children, such that they are moral agents sensitive to what it is that situations demand of them and of us, and so that they are possessed of the kind of practical wisdom, as it were, the know-how, that will enable them to work out what to do. The remaining books of the Nicomachean Ethics, rich and complex, are devoted to Aristotle's discussion of the role that friendship plays in the good human life, of the role played by pleasure in the good human life, and above all, toward the end, of the necessary features of consciousness or awareness of a good human life that is, in fact, a necessary condition for the possibility of our appreciating our happiness. At the end of the Ethics, however, Aristotle reveals something that he warned his reader at the very beginning, which is this fact, that the ethical science is really, as it were, merely a department of a much larger concern that he there calls political science. The reason he claims this, he says, is because the question of how we train ourselves and of how we train our children and of how we become the kind of persons who have the virtue that they have always must be understood within the context of what it is to live as human beings necessarily live, as political animals, that is, as animals, human beings within the social context. In the next lecture, we're going to begin first by talking exactly about those dimensions of political life and what Aristotle thinks about them. And then we're going to turn to another dimension that stands outside of ethics, the dimension of tragedy.
This ends Lecture 12.